Blog Talk Radio.
Turmoil fans, welcome to the show here on another Sunday afternoon. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. Hope everything is going well for you. And before we get started, some show notes today. Bizarro Lucha happening in Indianapolis, Indiana today. WCWC happening today in Salem, Oregon. You have Defy Wrestling in Tacoma, Washington, and Blue Collar Wrestling happening today in Portland, like usual, where you can find me. Oh, still waiting for our guest, but QT, apparently, you missed that idiot Darth Card again. I hear that he showed up at CPW.
What's the longest win streak that Darth Card has in the Northwest? It hasn't.
I'm not sure. I don't keep track of his win-loss record, except I know he's never beaten me.
What baseball team would you equate Darth Carter with? The Miami Marlins? Or maybe the Colorado
Rockies?
Bad
News Bears?
Bad News Bears, they won it all, though, their first year, don't they? And Bad News Bear won?
Took them a while to get there, though.
Well, that's true, and they had a lot of trials and tribulations. I'm just saying, son guy, if Darth Carter was in the Bad News Bear movie number one, what position would he have played? Center field?
Pinch runner.
Okay, pinch runner, not too bad. I myself have seen Darth Carter in action, have seen his raw speed. So I think he could be a good base runner. Yes. Raw speed. Darth Carter. Okay, let's say you put Darth Carter in a movie like, well, now let me see. We had Bad News Bears. Let me see. How about The Warriors? Nah, The Warriors were kind of like a 70s gang movie. Darth Carter kind of lives life like a straight razor, one of those straight razors. He would never be in a gang. Now, maybe the Venti Lattes in Kelso, Washington, 1978. What do you think?
Possibly.
Oh, okay. Wow. All right. Boy, that's... Okay. Well, now, can you tell us about some of the action last night at the Strawberry Festival? And did you yourself buy some strawberries?
Well, lots of action went on. There was a big lucha match. There was Pure Dominance being beaten by Beauty and the Beast. There was Goblin and JB Moonshine going toe-to-toe. Main event saw C.J. Edwards defend his title. And he beat Officer Cooper in As Is No Warranty.
Oh, no. Officer Cooper, that sounds like he might have been a policeman at one time.
Yes. He frisked me. He
frisked you.
Went ahead and frisked me.
Oh, no. Well, I think you react and interact socially better with policemen than firemen. Yes.
That might be accurate.
Oh, yeah. Now, when CJ defended and kept his title, do you think that will rank him up in the top three in this week's Turnbuckle Turmoil rankings?
Possibly, if they're out in time and if you don't promise to rank him and then leave him off completely and put someone who hasn't had a match in 17 years on the rankings.
I am crushed. My heart is heavy. Who have I promised to rank and then ranked pretty high who hasn't wrestled in like a month? I don't think I've ever done that. Can you give examples?
Yes, DeMarcus James, Karn Alexander, the battleship USS Indianapolis.
Now, speaking of Karn Alexander, I believe we have him coming up in the next couple months for an interview. Karn Alexander.
He will be back in July, yes.
Is he still eating like a billy goat?
He really does.
Oh, okay. Now, was Y period T period Jones there last night?
What was that?
Was Y period T period Jones there last night at the Strawberry Festival?
Yes, he was managing his charge, CJ Edwards.
Oh, okay. Wow. Okay. Well, how about Ian Bear? Was Ian Bear there?
Ian Bear, currently inactive, he was not there.
How about Whitney Sarah Irene?
Well, she was not there since the last time you asked.
Oh, okay.
She did not go back in time and appear after we established that she was at Woo America.
I was hoping second time would be the charm, yes.
It was not.
Oh, okay. Wow. Well, now, I heard you were in the back reading the Woo book while Darth Carter was working his magic.
That is accurate, apparently. I didn't even know he was there.
Was it an overflow crowd that surrounded the ring and was chanting Darth Carter? Was there a huge voluminous thunderclap-like volume cheers for Darth Carter?
I don't know. I wasn't watching him.
Well, I thought some of the wrestlers, the scuttlebutt, and after you came out from reading the rule book, I'm sure you naturally asked, how'd that idiot Darth Carter do? And they told you.
Well, I heard of it after the fact when I was getting ready to go out. So I was taken aback by that. Apparently, he was eliminated in the Battle Royal by some other masked guy and a weekend warrior. But QT, I believe our guest has joined us. Let's bring him on right away. Our guest, one of the proud rookie roster members of Blue Collar Wrestling, the thoroughbred Caleb Rex. Welcome to the program.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Our pleasure to have you on today. And since it is your first time with us, you get the first-timer's question today. What led to you getting into the pro wrestling business?
Well, I grew up a fan in the Attitude Era, of course, watching guys like, you know, The Rock and Stone Cold Steve Austin, but of course Chris Jericho, Steal the Show. But I always wanted to be a football player, to be honest. I had aspirations to play in the NFL. I went to college to play football. I was a center. That dream didn't exactly work out. Being 6'1", trying to play center, didn't exactly translate well. Everybody was a lot bigger and a lot stronger and a lot faster than me. And there was another dream that I honestly didn't even think was actually a possibility until I came back to the Pacific Northwest. And a man you all probably know pretty well by the name of Mean Mac Traeger, he let me know of a place called BCW, and I came out and I tried it out and figured out that this was actually something that could become real, could become a dream. It wasn't just something I could watch on TV and enjoy. So that's how it all flourished.
Now, obviously, you had a sports background going into professional wrestling training. So you had some conditioning and athletic base to get into the business. Had you done any amateur wrestling or anything like that that would also translate into professional wrestling?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So with trying to be the best athlete I could be and being at a disadvantage of being a lot smaller than everybody, I tried as many sports as I could. I did amateur wrestling since I was in third grade. It was probably one of my favorite sports to do, but it was probably one of the most tiring. I actually ended up becoming a cheerleader. That's why I've been able to be so light on my feet with how, with being as big as I am. My high school cheer team actually was ranked nationally in the United States. We got to go to Disneyland a number of times, and I got to perform on ESPN once. It was actually really cool. It did track, baseball. I always felt that if I just focused on one singular sport, it would kind of wear me out and wear me down and make me too one-sided. And with being at the disadvantage I was at, I couldn't do that. So it was cool.
Having a cheerleading background, were you a huge fan of the Spirit Squad of WWE?
You know, I was actually a little bit younger when it happened, so I didn't quite get what it all was until I got into high school and I joined the cheer team and I started doing a lot of the same. It started mimicking a lot of the same stuff I saw them do back then, and I'd be at because we had to. Since I was a football player, I didn't cheer at the football games, but it was a requirement to be able to compete that you had to cheer at games. So I was at the basketball games a lot of the time, just kind of being a fool in the stands. It was a lot of fun. We had a male cheer coach, so he understood being a male cheerleader and getting a lot of the flack. So he never really made us do things that weren't. You know, he kept us pretty masculine. He kept us pretty, you know, guys. He had us do a lot of stunts, lots of tumbling, nothing, you know, no dancing, no, you know, spirit fingers, none of that stuff. He was a great coach.
Now, I'm sure you are an avid viewer of The Sign of the Times. You've probably seen every episode multiple times. The most recent episode... Episode 382, the T-Rex and Ice edition came out. It was confirmed by T-Rex. In fact, you're the son of T-Rex. Can you confirm his confirmation?
I think T-Rex needs a little bit more ice because last time I checked, my last name is spelled R-E-X-X, and he is spelled the traditional T-Rex, T-E-X. T-R-E-X. So, I mean, it's an easy confusion, but I don't know if you've noticed, but there's not a whole lot of noticeable similarities between Caleb Rex and T-Rex, but I can see the confusion. Maybe there's a distant relationship. Maybe he's a lost uncle or something, but I don't know about him being my dad.
Well, it sounds like maybe there's not like a decisive answer to that question, so maybe T-Rex trying to tell you something.
You know, maybe. He's lived a life on the road, so who knows?
Or it's possible he just wants to latch onto that hot young rookie and attach his name to him.
You know, I wouldn't blame him at this point. You got the Northwest Assassin seems to like what I've been putting together, and he's attached himself to me. That's the big heavy that's been following me everywhere. He doesn't talk much. I understand him. I know I've had some good conversations with him, but everybody else seems to think that he doesn't have much to say. I don't know. He seems to talk my ear off.
As someone else that is largely responsible for a lot of your early success so far, someone else that maybe not a biological father, but definitely a wrestling father for you, that being Kodiak Jack. Can you tell us what you think of Kodiak Jack as a trainer, someone that has ran the Blue Collar Wrestling Academy for the last several months?
I think he's a great trainer. I think it speaks volumes to what he's able to give to the trainees and how well and how fast a lot of us are progressing. I mean, the Northwest Assassin had his first match last weekend, and I mean he's the next graduate under me. A lot of these trainees and a lot of these rookies are progressing pretty quickly, and they're learning very well, and a lot of it is a testament to Kodiak, and he gets a lot of help from guys like Gregor Petrov, who travels a lot around the Northwest and into California and all over. I believe he's told me he's traveled to 20% of the United States so far for wrestling, and he's learning and he's bringing all of that back to us and to Kodiak, and he's giving it back to us and teaching us everything he can, and it's been absolutely amazing. And then another guy, Brian Armstrong, who, I mean, you've seen him in the ring, you've seen what he can do. The stuff that he's been able to offer on top of that, the BCW rookies are going to be dangerous forces when they graduate, and it's a testament to who's training them.
Now, looking at the current roster of BCW, you've named quite a few individuals already, but who are some of the people on the current roster that you have not yet come across in the ring that you would most like to have matches with in the near future?
Ooh, very, very good question. You know, somebody that I've always looked up to and admired is our current television champion, Lone Star. He's somebody that I consider a legend in the Pacific Northwest. And I think that the things that myself and him could do in the ring could be very, very entertaining. Another person would be Zach Winters. he's a guy that I think is somebody that leads the way in trying to be entertaining and something aside from just, you know, moves in the ring. He wants to be more than that. I think it's a testament to how one night he can make you absolutely hate him and absolutely boo him and absolutely just hate his guts. And then the next, he's on JV Moonshine side, and he's the tag champion, and you absolutely love him, and everybody's through the roof for him. And he's fighting for you now, and you know that speaks volume to who he is. So, I think myself and him could do some great things.
Now, someone that is in BCW that he's always there, always will be there. He periodically has stretches of inactivity, but he pops up from time to time, that being Cowboy Tex Thompson. What do you think a match with Cowboy Tex Thompson would mean for you at this stage in your career?
Well, you know, I'm looking very forward to this. This is actually a match that's coming up, and he's another one just like Lone Star who is an absolute legend in our area, and he's got a lot to teach and a lot to give. But you know, I think tonight when you guys see this match happen, you're going to see that I might just be, you know, one step faster or, you know, a little bit too much to handle for the legend. He's an absolutely great wrestler, and he's an absolute, you know, I keep saying the same word, legend, but he's not the thoroughbred. So we'll find out. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Now, you had the opportunity on a couple of occasions to travel to Bremerton, Washington, and wrestle a couple of matches for Woo America very early on after you trained. What was the experience like for you getting to go out of the comfort zone away from your home base and do a couple of things for a totally different company?
It was very eye-opening. Just to see how things are done differently than what I'm used to. It's a learning process. Even down to how they put together and take down the ring was done differently. So I mean, it was nice. It was a different experience. It was something that I needed to figure out, because honestly, I didn't know that not all rings were built differently. You know, I didn't know all these things. These are all just simple facts that I got to learn out on the road. It was interesting going from a place like the Eagles Lodge, where you've got a good amount of space between you and a table between the fans, and being at La Pebolinita's, I believe is the name of the restaurant, but it's they're really, really close to the ring. You don't have much space when you get in and out of the ring, but on top of that, you hear everything they say, and it's a learning experience. If they don't like you, they're going to let you know.
Try taking a drop kick on the floor and see where you end up.
Probably the
best place to take that, at Paul Bonita, speaking from personal experience.
I bet. I wouldn't doubt that at all.
You say that going in, you didn't realize rings were different, and obviously that's very true. I've seen a lot of different rings in my day, but also just the way that the shows are conducted vary quite a bit. You see sometimes differences in rules going promotion to promotion. You see a difference as far as the atmosphere, both in front of the fans and behind the scenes away from the fans. There's so many differences promotion to promotion. What have you done thus far to try to prepare yourself when you do travel in order to fit in wherever you go?
I try to ask a lot of questions. Whether it's to the booker or who I'm wrestling, just to try to get a feel of not only what they want, but what the environment's like that I'm stepping into. From experience from playing football, if you're walking into somebody else's, you know, home field, they're not always going to be receptive. They're not always going to be super happy to see you. So it's good to get a feel for that stuff. I know with BCW, a lot of the times, unless the really big name talent, a lot of the visiting talent, they get booed right away. They cheer the home wrestler no matter what allegiances they have. I've been relatively new around BCW for a little while, and I got a lot of boos. I mean, they were cheering Brian Armstrong, and Brian Armstrong doesn't like to be cheered. He does things to get booed, and they were cheering him. And when he was wrestling me. So it's just, it's good to get the environment figured out, just so you're not stepping into something you don't want to step into, or getting into a situation that might be volatile or dangerous. And so it's good to get a feel. So I try to ask a lot of questions. I don't want to come in wearing gear that a vet might be wearing. So I ask a lot of questions like that, like, is this going to be okay if I come in wearing this, and things like that. It might seem silly or off the wall to other people, but I just try to be as respectful as I can.
Now, I've been to a lot of places. I don't mind answering questions. So if you have a question, like during a chin lock or something, feel free to ask.
Awesome. And that's the thing. I'm filled with questions. I've got a notebook that I add countless things to. I'm afraid to throw it away. It's got coffee stains on it because I spilled coffee on it a couple of times. And I was the TJ Perkins seminar that I was just recently at. I believe I was the only one in there with a notebook taking notes, but I made sure I got everything out of it.
So what you're saying is you'll gladly bring me a copy if I write some answers down in your notebook. Is that what I'm getting out of that?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm willing to share whatever knowledge I learn. Gregor Petrov taught me that.
All right. Well, you bring me a coffee, and I like my coffee like I like my BCW bookers.
Oh, man.
Well, at this point in time, my co-host QT Vokes is standing by, and I'm sure that QT has a few questions. So, Fez, help you as I pass things along to QT.
Excellent.
Well, thank you, Sign Guy. Hello, Caleb.
Hello, sir.
Caleb, you just mentioned to Sign Guy about keeping that notebook when you went to that seminar. We at Turnbuckle Turmoil also keep a logbook of all the guests that we have had on the shows. And when Sign Guy goes to any WrestleMania events or to the East Coast or even to Idaho, he has the people sign in his guest book the people that have been on the show. How much is it going to mean to you to sign our Turnbuckle Turmoil logbook since you qualify for being on the show today? How much? There's some real big names in this logbook.
It's going to mean a lot. It's not just the fact that I'm going to be able to join, all the company that's in that logbook, but the fact that, this is my first podcast. This is the first time I've been a guest on a show, in any capacity, from football to wrestling. And so this means a lot. I was probably about an hour and a half before this, I was talking with my mom, bragging about how this is my first podcast and it's going to be cool. So absolutely. I don't even really have, I'm so excited about it. I don't have all of the words together for it even.
Oh, well, I tell you what, I'll try to get together with Sign Guy and go over our logbook, and we will try to make a special section for signatures on the people that have their first interview with us. It'll be like a rookie logbook section. Yes.
Wow, I appreciate that. That'd be awesome.
Oh, okay. We'll try to put you in our rookie section. Maybe we'll have a divider in the logbook. Okay. That'd be great. Because
right.
I tell you, this logbook that we keep have some very huge names, like women with very, very large title belts. Yes.
Very nice. Very nice.
Yes. Yeah. In fact, you may have seen one of these ladies that has signed the logbook on a recent Sign of the Times holding a large title belt. I won't name that this lady AIWF wrestling champ. Actually, I don't think that's right. AWF wrestling champ. Yes.
Very interesting. Okay.
Oh, okay.
I think I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah.
Boy, she let's just say she has a lot of autographs shown every week. Yes. All right.
Right.
Well, Caleb, have you had a chance to talk with Northwest 7-foot wrestler Jackson Price, who has recently come back after being hit by a car? He's made his comeback after having a little accident.
I have, actually. The last time I was at WUW America, I was in the middle of changing, and suddenly these two boots step up in front of me, and I go to look up to see who it was, and the fact that I had to strain my neck to continue to look up to look at the rest of Jackson Price was incredibly intimidating. But he's super awesome. Very nice. He's a nice guy. He was very open, opened up, was very welcome to me in the locker room. But no, yeah, he's a force of nature. I've seen a lot of playing football in college and, you know, arena and semi-pro and different things like that. I saw a lot of very, very big guys, and none of them had the imposing figure that Jackson had.
Well, now, speaking of imposing figures, now, sooner or later, you yourself may have to face Jackson Price, be it in a one-on-one or tag team situation, or maybe even in a battle royal. In the back of your mind, do you yourself have a contingency plan of how you're going to react if he goes for a choke slam? Jackson Price.
Yeah, you know, there's another guy in BCW that gives a pretty massive and angry choke slam that I've actually felt a couple of times in Big Vicious, and so I'm not a stranger to those. So I think I've got a good little plan, because I've honestly had to take some time and find a way out of Big Vicious's choke slam, considering he gave me a pretty nasty one after I won a recent battle royal. So I think I've got something up my sleeve if the situation ever occurs.
Well, gentlemen, we have another caller on the line. Maybe someone wants to say something to Caleb, so let's bring them on. We have a caller out of the 971 area code.
Paul Moonshine.
Paul Moonshine.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
How's it going, Paul?
It's going good. How are you doing?
I'm well. I'm first ever podcast, doing my first ever interview. I got Sign Guy. I got Paul Moonshine. I mean, this is going great.
That's good. I'm glad to hear it. And Sign Guy, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right. I heard that idiot, your buddy pal Darth Carter, got roughed up yesterday. Always a good day when he gets beaten around.
Yeah, well, like I told you before, I got plans for you once I get in Darth Carter's corner.
Maybe you want to team Darth Carter with Caleb Rex, give him a fighting chance.
Well, I was just going to ask you, Sign Guy, if you needed some backup.
Oh, not with Darth Carter, no. I can beat that idiot any time. I've done it multiple times all across the country.
Yeah, well, like I told you before, though, he hasn't had anybody in his corner like Paul Moonshine.
It's true.
He can put anybody in his corner he wants. It's going to be the same result. Oh, Caleb, have you come across this idiot Darth Carter, this masked menace, the plague of my existence, Paul Moonshine's buddy pal, apparently?
I have not. I have not crossed paths with this person, but I've heard plenty of stories from you, and I've been on the lookout since.
He just randomly seems to pop up in places. Once he was on statewide television in Idaho in a championship match. I have no idea how that happened, but it did.
Man, the luck of some people, you know?
I guess.
Well, I'm gonna work on getting a match between Sun Guy and Dark Carter, possibly in CPW.
I would fight him anywhere.
Hey, Paul, can QT Vokes be referee of this match? QT Vokes.
I don't think so, QT. You know that you keep ducking every challenge I ever, and you're always in cahoots with Sign Guy. I would never trust you to referee anything that I have going against Sign Guy.
That was a hard no. Well,
I'd probably get Caleb to referee that match.
Caleb, have you ever refereed before?
I have refereed one match and I had to do it in the cast. So I mean, I could do it.
That's a hard spot right there. So
yeah,
as long as you know, Paul Moonshine doesn't grease the palms, I would accept that.
The thoroughbred's pretty expensive. I don't know if Paul Moonshine could grease the palms of a thoroughbred.
Yeah, but he's got that illegal shine money.
Very true.
Yeah, anybody can be bought. I found that out with Sign Guy.
You've never bought me. Don't be spreading unfounded rumors.
No, I'm talking about how other people have bought you, and that's why you're always going against what I tell you to do in your matches against any of my guys. That's why any time you have been involved with something of mine, I've been injured, I've had surgery, I've been hospitalized, and it's all because you will not stop whatever's happening.
Sounds like you're just clumsy to me.
Yeah, it sounds like he's doing his job, Pa.
that time that you just watched Tommy C put me in a pile driver and put me in the hospital. I had to have surgery, and you just watched him do that. You watched Lance Dean wrap my shoulder in a chair and carted off to the hospital. Every time I've had a run in with somebody. And you know that I'm just a manager, and you call yourself an official. I don't see it.
Well, I do, and I'm licensed as an official, so there's that. Now, Caleb, we confirmed earlier you said he's not your father, but being that it's Father's Day, and being that Paul Moonshine has children all over this country, apparently there's like 37 moonshiners. Have you ever stopped to think that maybe you're Caleb Rex Moonshine?
You know, there was a point where I felt the need. I don't know if you guys remember, but I started out on the commentary booth with Mr. Rockefeller in BCW, and Pa's son, JB Moonshine, was in a real rough spot with the Freak Show, and something called to me to step in the ring with JB and help him out in that match.
in fighting the freak show. I don't know if you guys remember that. I'm sure Paul remembers. But I stepped in and helped.
And ended up being the victor.
Yeah, I got a big win over Big Vicious that night. But I honestly can't say I know what came over me. Something just – I just felt the need to go in and help JV and be by his side. So who knows? Maybe.
Paul, is there anything you want to tell the young man?
Anything's possible. I mean, we found out that Lance Dean was my son from way back, anything's possible. I mean, there's Jason Kincaid. He's related. There's Casey Carlisle. You know, it just goes on and on. But I've been around.
My mother, she frequents the shows pretty often. She's ringside most of my matches. She might even be, you know, a daughter, and I might even be, you know, a grandkid or a nephew or something. You know, it doesn't even necessarily have to mean that I'm the child. But
the other thing too, Caleb, is I just noticed you just did one of my traits, JB's traits, and you did a bunch of stuttering. That's in our family.
Yeah, I think that's just kind of, it just happens when you hear it a bunch. I don't know. It's hereditary. I don't know.
Now, Paul, it is Father's Day. And Caleb is bringing me a coffee. Do you want him to bring you a coffee?
a what? A coffee? Coffee?
Exactly. Moonshiners don't drink anything that's less than a clear liquid.
Exactly. I don't understand what. We're from back up the hill. We don't know what coffee is.
Well, then I will drink your coffee for you. I still like my coffee like I like my BCW Bookers.
Harsh. What? Hot and black?
Yes.
Yikes!
Oh.
You heard it from Paul. We all knew it. I'd be careful, Pa. Don't let Tommy Celsius hear you saying that stuff.
Yeah, right. I don't put nothing past him anymore.
Okay, love.
Tommy Celsius is another name we haven't touched on too much today. But Caleb, he's been around blue collar wrestling since the very beginning. He goes back a good 20 years in this industry. He's wrestled all over the country. He's wrestled some pretty big names. I don't think that you've wrestled him just yet, but what do you think about getting in there with the likes of Tommy Celsius?
he's wrestling at such a higher level, getting to be in the ring with the likes of, Funny Bone and Eric Wright and Richard Sincere and Flex Walker and all of those guys, just exciting. He's wrestling at such a high level. I didn't even consider that being a chance right now, but it would be such an honor. It would be such a great thing. He knows so much beyond just pro wrestling, but even amateur wrestling. I've gotten a chance to work with him a little bit in training, and he's a very decorated amateur wrestler on top of that. And so I think if me and him could get down to the mat, it could become a lot of fun.
Now, Paul, would you mind guiding your son, potentially, Caleb Rex Moonshine, against Tommy C? I know you got a score against Tommy C to settle.
Yeah, well, you know, I've always got a score to settle with somebody, and if I had to be in Caleb's corner against Tommy, then I would certainly do it, because Caleb's got a lot of potential, and anybody can be beat as well as, you know, take a year or so ago when I went against Kevin Brandt. You know, anybody can be beaten on any given night.
Well, it looks like we have another caller on the line here. Let's see. They have some. And do we have the caller from the Portland area?
Yeah, it's just Amanda and me listening for Caleb.
Oh, Meat.
How's it going?
Hey, Caleb.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. We don't want to say anything. We just want to listen. Have a good show.
All right.
Thank you so much.
All right, we will see you guys later. Now, Caleb, here's an interesting question. I have never personally experienced this. I believe Paul has. QT does frequently in his nightmares. Have you experienced the Meat Express?
A couple of times, unfortunately. I think one of them was so bad, I'm still picking pieces of meat out of my backside. It's a very devastating move, and I would really rather not take it ever again.
Can I point out that Paul Moonshine is the only Northwest wrestler to take a knife-edged chop from Miss Piggy? It's true. Yes.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Why are you bringing her in on? I mean, she even texted me today and wished me happy Father's Day.
Is that JB's mother?
Yeah, it's JB's mother.
Oh, man.
And when her and I were together, her and I would fight. It was me fighting for my life. You know, I had a friend one time. This was back in the day when he was still alive. He told me. He said, you know something? He said, I finally figured out why. His mother would answer the door with a baseball bat, and I said, why is that? He said, so. The guy on the other side would have a fighting chance.
So he would get
the baseball bat to the guy, so he would have a fighting chance.
Now, I guess technically speaking, Miss Piggy would be Caleb's stepmother.
Oh, man.
I don't know if Caleb ever met her. She's come to the show several times, but I don't know if he's ever seen her or not. But she's scary.
I don't know if I like the idea of possibly being a Muppet baby.
Now, I know in WCW at one point, Buff Bagwell's mother was co-holder to the World Tag Team Championship. Imagine the joy in all of the Appalachian Mountains if we got a Caleb Rex, Miss Piggy Tag Team Championship combination, and they would have to go through JB and Zach Winters to get those titles currently.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. Miss Piggy would Kayla would have to do is just sit back and watch. She would single handedly take the title.
Kayla, I've seen a lot of weird stuff in my day. A lot of weird stuff.
Me too, yeah.
How do you think you'd feel winning the titles with JB's mother going through potentially your own stepbrother and someone that I used to manage?
I think that... I think the BCW would be in for quite a show if that was something that flourished.
Now, Caleb, one of the things that you mentioned earlier was the TJ Perkins seminar. He was in very recently. He had a very, very, very well officiated match against Just Exciting, some of the best officiating nights in years. Seminars are something that a lot of wrestlers, managers, referees, bookers do. It's kind of a growing thing over the last few years in wrestling. You see more and more of seminars offered. Are there other seminars out there that you've attended or that you hope to get to attend at some point, or is a seminar something that's going to be kind of rare for your own sake?
What was that again? I'm sorry.
Is the seminar something that you want to do? Is there specific seminars you'd like to hit, or are the seminars just as a general something that's going to be kind of once in a while for you?
You know, I'm trying to get into as many seminars as I can, actually. I'm trying to just get my face in front of as many of those notable wrestlers as possible, take as many notes as I can, mold together, you know, who the thoroughbred is based on what I learn out on the road. on top of that, I feel like it adds to being credible when I present myself to other people. A goal for myself now that some of these combines are starting to open up in the professional wrestling world is to get to a base to where I could actually perform well at one of those and possibly get on with a company that one of the companies that is holding one of the combines. I feel that with my experience with football and having to run the 40-yard dash and bench press, putting 225 pounds and seeing how many times I can push it up, doing the vertical, things like that, body composition. It's all things I'm used to from having to do that in football. So I think I have a little bit of an advantage there than some that don't have that background. So that helps. And I'm excited to hear that wrestling is evolving to those types of tryout systems. So I feel like I have a chance.
Paul, have you ever ran a seminar?
No, I haven't. I don't think I could.
Why, you think you're too expensive? People wouldn't be able to afford you?
Well, I don't even know if we could get through it. I with my stuttering background and stuff, I just don't think I could do it and I don't think sign guy would show up for it and he really should. If I was to give a seminar, sign guy, I would make sure make it mandatory the sign guy show up for it.
Really? Well, all right. Just throwing it out there for Caleb. I do occasionally run a seminar. On occasion.
Oh, yeah. Do you now?
On occasion. Sometimes with Kelly Klein, actually.
Interesting. I think I was actually at the Kelly Klein seminar at BCW when she was last here. I believe you were there, actually.
I was. I was assisting.
Yeah. She referred to you a couple of times, actually, so I can confirm that.
Young guy, I don't see you being able to assist. Assist your way out of a wet paper bag.
Hey, I assisted on a couple of seminars with Kelly Klein. She will confirm that. Well,
I hope you will.
We're down to the last minutes of the show, so now would be a good time to say anything you want to say, plug anything you want to plug. Paul, you got anything going on?
I just we just did CPW yesterday. We did NWP yesterday. We have Northwest Pro in Tacoma on June 29th at an adult 21 and over show. The next time we're in CPW, it'd be 21 over August 3rd, and everybody tune in for next Friday. I will be on Turnbuckle Turmoil with some other managers.
That is absolutely true. We got a plethora of them. Caleb, anything you want to say to the listeners, plug and promote, go right ahead.
Well, absolutely, actually. I've been thinking about this throughout the entire show, actually, something that's been on my mind a little bit. Everybody seems to want to latch themselves on to the thoroughbred. Everybody seems to want to call themselves my father, my grandfather, my uncle, my family member. And you know what? I don't need them. I'm the thoroughbred for a reason. I got to where I'm at for a reason. I am who I am on my own, and I don't need any of them. T-Rex is definitely not my father. The Moonshiners, if it's a distant thing, keep it distant, because I'm bred for this. I've done this myself, and I'm going to continue to do so. And Tex Thompson is just part of the plan.
Wow. Strong words right there, indeed. Poor T-Rex finding this out on Father's Day, too. That poor man.
Poor Darth
Had to
Kong.
Be said.
Well, listeners, we will be back with you next week. Like Paul said, next Friday is Manager's Day, and then 1 week from today, we will have the aforementioned Douglas Rockefeller on the program for the first time. So make sure you join us for that. You can find pretty much everybody that was here today at Blue Collar Wrestling in Portland later this evening. And on a final note, I want to send our condolences out. We found out earlier this morning that longtime Midwest wrestler Cousin Bubba has passed away. So our thoughts go out to the family, friends, and the colleagues of Cousin Bubba. And as we go out, we'll hit the 10 bell for Cousin Bubba.